we're all confident in each other. We know what we're capable of. We still have 14 games left, so we're not panicking by any means. But we do know we have to play better to get wins.
We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast, the Thursday edition, as we look forward to week three. The Bengals take on the Philadelphia Eagles, still looking for win number one. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Charlie Goldsmith, Tyler Dragon over on the Bengals Beat for the Cincinnati Inquirer. How you guys doing?
Thursday, week three is upon us. I know you two are happy being Rez fans. The Rez had a big win yesterday, so I know you two are thrilled. And my Lakers play tonight, too, so I'm looking forward to the game.
You know it was a big Reds game because Tyler actually mentioned the result to us. he doesn't follow the Reds as closely. So last night was definitely memorable.
The winds are in the air for the Cincinnati Reds, hoping the same for Tyler Dragon. And the Cincinnati Bengals are looking for that first win of the season when they face the winless Eagles this coming Sunday. Guys, we'll go to what we know right now, and it's the injury report. And it's been news pretty much since regular season has begun. Geno Atkins still out with a shoulder. Mike Daniels was out with a groin injury, but it did say that it was a personal reason too. So hopefully I have more of an update on that tomorrow when they get one more light practice in before a walkthrough and they take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. I want to go back to Geno Atkins because we've talked about his effect not being on the defensive side and how much they do miss him right now. I don't know why, and this is me assuming right now, this has AJ Green 2019 injury written all over it in week three. Are we ever going to see Geno Atkins in 2020?
Well, Zach Taylor continues to say that Geno Atkins is day to day. And that's similar to how he described AJ Green's status to begin last season before Green progressed to being week to week, being labeled as that. So, you know, in all likelihood, Geno Atkins is going to miss his third game on Sunday, which kind of makes you wonder why the Bengals didn't put him on IR, because, you know, players can come back after three games this year on injury reserve. I don't expect Geno Atkins to miss many more games. The good news is that he's present at practice, and today, Thursday, he was doing work on the rehab field, but you know, it is, I can see why fans would think it's kind of looking like AJ, but I do not expect Geno Atkins to be out for a majority of the season and the whole year. I do expect him to play. It's funny because I just got off a conference call with Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, and he was asked if Geno Atkins or Mike Daniels are going to play this week in Philadelphia, and he said, "I'm going to church right now." Those are his exact quotes. So, you know, he misses having Geno Atkins in the lineup, and the whole Bengals defense certainly misses the 8-time Pro Bowler.
We talked to a couple Bengals defensive ends, Carl Lawson and Sam Hubbard, earlier this week about stopping the run, about getting to the quarterback better. And I forget which one of them said this, but one of them said, "Man, getting Geno and Mike back sure is going to help." That is the idea, having a starting quality, and in Geno's case, a Pro Bowl quality defensive tackle does a lot for the offense. Personally, I want to be a little critical about how the Bengals got into this position in the first place. Yes, Glasgow and Wren suffered injuries or were cut. I failed their physical during training camp. But I'm a little confused why the Bengals haven't addressed depth at defensive tackle more over the past several years since they start two, DJ Reader and Geno Atkins, on a normal basis. You still need depth behind them, especially because heading into the year, the Bengals were very deliberate about getting Geno Atkins on a snap count. Ryan Glasgow, he's a guy who's played five games in the last two seasons. Wren is someone who is very unproven heading into this year, played some down the stretch last season. So both of them were fourth round picks, one in 2019, one in 2017. Since then, or before then, the Bengals had only used one draft selection on a defensive tackle or a nose tackle. it's almost like that's not addressing that depth is not one of the areas on the team they've prioritized building or have reacted to, saying we can just add a vet like Mike Daniels kind of on short notice and plug and play. Well, now you are definitely seeing that the lack of depth and the lack of investment behind the Bengals starting defensive tackles is really hurting the team.
Yeah, no, as you mentioned, Geno Atkins was going into year 11. He wasn't getting any younger going into this season. So the lack of depth and moves that they've made in the last couple of years, it's really starting to show on the defensive side. When you look at the offensive line, again, this has been a story for 2 to 3 years now when we talk about some of the issues and problems. Hearing, you know, Jonah Williams is probably the best offensive lineman they have right now. Trey Hopkins is a guy who performed really well last season. He's struggling a little bit, not as bad as others. When you look at even a Michael Jordan, Bobby Hart, and then we look at the right guard position. Zach Taylor, after we recorded the podcast on Tuesday, he had media availability on Wednesday, and he said he's given Fred Johnson another try. He did want to say, look, it was a short turnaround, his first time over in the right guard position, and he feels like he's going to get a full week of practice in there. We talked to Trey Hopkins this week, and he gave confidence and credit to what Fred Johnson was able to do. I almost thought for a second, was he still watching the same game we were watching? But he has the support of his center in Trey Hopkins. The Bengals are giving Fred Johnson another try. Is this the right move, or are we going to see adjustment at halftime?
Well, as you said, you know, he does have the support from his coaching staff and players around him, including center Trey Hopkins. And he had limited reps in week two, leading up to week two's game. That was his first start at right guard. But even still, you know, it was not a good showing for Fred Johnson. He allowed a team high in pressures, gave up a sack. You can probably credit him for giving up two sacks in that game, actually. And, you know, still, regardless of what I saw on tape, regardless of what Zach Taylor and everybody else saw on tape, you know, that they are saying that, you know, he battled through and was still competitive throughout that game. So they want to give him another shot with, you know, a full week's worth of practice and game planning. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does in Philadelphia. Now, to answer your question, would I start him? No, I would either go with Shaq Calhoun at right guard or Billy Price. Johnson's natural position is tackle. And that kind of showed in that week two game. So yeah, I would start Calhoun or Price, but you know, the coaching staff doesn't listen to me. So
I have a story publishing on Thursday morning, Friday morning, actually, on the pressure that the offensive line is facing right now. One thing I did for the piece was I talked to an offensive guard who's on the 2002 Houston Texans team. That is the team that famously, with number one overall pick David Carr, allowed an NFL record 76 sacks. And as part of the story, I talked to offensive guard Fred Weary about takeaways he learned from that and maybe what he might recommend to the Bengals. He said that over the course of the season, the Texans changed their offensive line so many times that at sometimes he didn't even feel like he knew who was playing next to who. And sometimes he forgot who was at center, who was at tackle, who was at the other guard spot. There was so much uncertainty, and that definitely didn't help David Carr, he said. I think that's advice that applies to the Bengals. I think that you have to be very intentional when you make a move. I think it's definitely possible that Fred Johnson's better than Billy Price at guard. I think it's also possible that that's not true. But I think the Bengals have to be very intentional in knowing and strongly believing every time they make a decision on changing the offensive line.
You know, I actually talked to someone who was close to Billy Price yesterday after that announcement kind of came out. They were going to stick with Fred Johnson. And I asked him, I said, this ankle injury, they're calling it high ankle. He was able to be active the other night and more than likely will be active going into this game against Philly. He says it's not as bad as everyone thinks, that he could play if they needed him to. I think there's just confidence lost there. I think there's a little bit of confidence lost with Jim Turner and putting Billy Price back at right guard. Could he do it? Could it be a better option versus what they're dealing with Fred Johnson? Yes. But how much of it is maybe the coaching staff wanting chemistry, wanting to build something of getting more reps with the same guys out there in the offensive line? Because we look at last season, they were plugging guys in and out every single week. I mean, the Cordy Glenn soap opera series was something they had to deal with most of 2019. And that's just on, not even talking about their weak right side. And it just feels like this team wants to try and get that built on the right side. I mean, the left side, of course, Michael Jordan didn't have a great game last week, but you know, it's still looking better than what you see over on the right tackle and the right guard side. So I look at that and I almost wonder if they want to just give it one more go around, or they will make adjustments fast at halftime. I mean, because look, you look at Joe Burrow, the guy can't keep getting hit. How much is that, Tyler, of just the coaching staff wanting to stick with the guys they have and just giving it another go?
Well, yeah, playing offensive line, it is about, you know, moving together and having that chemistry and that continuity up front. You know, Trey Hopkins, he's already played next to three right guards. And, you know, the Bengals last year, their offensive line, it was like, you know, musical chairs. There was, what, four left tackles. And it was just always a different combination of five men offensive line last year. So the Bengals, this is going to be their second game starting together in a row with, you know, Jonah Williams at left tackle, Michael Jordan at left guard, Trey Hopkins at center. And then we'll see, but yeah, Fred Johnson at right guard and then Bobby Hart at right tackle. Now you would think that they would be able to progress and get better in their second game together. It's going to be a difficult task against a stout Eagles offensive line. But, you know, like I said, I personally would start Billy or Shaq Calhoun. And, you know, this ankle quote unquote injury, I think that's an excuse. He's not even on the injury report. So you can't say somebody has an injury and he's not even listed on the team's injury report. So his injury, that I think that's just a smoke screen, and the Bengals just, you know, don't want him out there at that right guard position. And, you know, they want to continue to give Fred Johnson an opportunity to earn that school, to keep that spot until Xavier Suafilo comes back from his injury. So, you know, all eyes are going to be not only on Joe Burrow this weekend, but to see how that Bengals offensive line performs against Fletcher Cox and those boys.
The Bengals did not draft Billy Price in the first round to play guard. They drafted him as a center to be a cornerstone in the middle of their offensive line for however long he was with the Bengals. Now they're playing him a guard. And as I discussed on our podcast earlier this week, it's the continuation of a trend of the Bengals moving guys to guard from different positions. Look at the guys they have now. It's Michael Jordan, who played center his last year of college. It's Fred Johnson, who, as Tyler said, is a tackle. And it's Billy Price, who is a center as well, was drafted to play center, played center throughout college. Shaq Calhoun really now is the only available true born and raised guard on the entire roster, which is fascinating to think about for an offensive line that's having struggles keeping defensive pressure from coming up the middle.
When you look at this team in the past and just coaching changes, they don't happen often. I mean, Marvin Lewis is a great example when you look at how many years that he had to turn this around. When you look at the offensive line, you could blame it on not having the pieces right now, but we've saw just so many changes the offseason of 2019. And then you go into this year and, you know, not really getting any help on the offensive line side, and same old story, and Joe Burrow's getting hit, and you don't want to see that in his development. At what point is Jim Turner on a hot seat? And I even hate that going into week three, but you got to make these moves fast now. I mean, you're playing in a tough AFC North, and maybe this year, as we mentioned, it's not about wins and losses. It's about development of your quarterback, but you can't keep going through this. And at some point, when a position group is not performing, when do you just stop blaming the players and look internally to the coaching staff too?
Well, I think both deserve some blame. Turner deserves blame as well as offense line. I mean, if you look at this group, it's not in totality a talented offensive line group. And just look at the teams that they faced the first 2 weeks. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, those are two of the top defensive ends in the league. Myles Garrett is another one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. So when you put them against this Bengals offensive line, there is nobody of that caliber that you can say, okay, he can stop Melvin Ingram. We feel good about that. Oh, he can stop Joey Bosa. He can stop Myles Garrett. No, the Bengals don't have an offensive lineman of that Pro Bowl caliber. Yes, Jonah Williams has performed okay, and he could eventually rise up to be, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber standout left tackle, but he's not there yet. So to answer your question, I do not see the Bengals firing Jim Turner this year. I don't see them firing a position coach this year. That's not in Zach Taylor's MO. He personally likes Jim Turner and feels like that, you know, he likes the way that he conducts his business and is teaching his offensive line group, and they've had to adjust some of their schemes starting with in the middle of last year. So no, I just don't see that happening this year. Now, if the Bengals continue to struggle and Joe Burrow's running for his life out there for the remainder of the season, then yeah, I can see Coach Taylor going in a different direction at that offensive line coach position.
It's important to remember Taylor and Turner go way back. It's almost as close a relationship as the one between Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan or Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo. It's a bunch of deep ties. With Turner, it's he coached against, or he coached with Turner. Taylor coached with Turner all the way back at Texas A&M in the late 2000s when Zach Taylor was really just getting started out as a coach. And then they reunited with the Miami Dolphins, that famous group that now has several former alumni littered across the Bengals organization. So it's someone who he really trusts. And Zach Taylor has made that clear. He was asked earlier this week whether he still believes Jim Turner is doing a good job. And Zach Taylor said yes. So for now, that eliminates that question. I'm curious if that question gets readdressed later in the season.
You've never gone this. I think this is only the second time in your career you've gone back to back. You haven't anything more than 15 yards. It looks like you guys are playing in a box. How do you break out of that, AJ? How do you get a big play?
For us, it's just, you know, the plays that we missed is just by inches. The go ball in Cleveland and then the seam and back at home. So we're right there. Like I said, we just got to keep working. Or we know, you know, I missed a year and a half and then coming into a new offense. So we still got a lot of stuff to work out, including myself. Still got to get, you know, some things ironed out.
AJ, how much of it is just kind of missing the timing of not having preseason games and kind of doing this on the fly with Joe? I know you can do some of the things in practice, but obviously nothing simulates a game.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, he's a new quarterback, new, you know, first time in the offense. So, you know, we had no offseason, no preseason. So what we got to correct is going to have to be on the fly. So, again, we got a group of guys. And, you know, me, I got to keep working to get better. Just little things me and Joe got to meet together. And we're going to go over a lot of things that, you know, what he see, what he like, what I need to do better. So
I think we talked a lot about Joe Burrow and his first two starts and all the playmakers they have in the wide receiver room. We talked to AJ Green today and he says, you know, it's just about getting that confidence back. Obviously, no offseason. He's adjusting to a new offense since playing in almost 2 years for him personally. And Joe Burrow talked about it. One thing that you look at this offense that it really needs right now, besides, you know, an offensive line that's really adjusting and playing well, is that big pass play. And that's something we haven't seen in two games. Do you guys feel like we'll see this on Sunday? And is that the biggest thing besides the red zone woes too?
I want to see some balance on offense. You know, Joe Burrow threw 61 passes in week 2. He's thrown 97 overall. He leads the NFL in that category. And yeah, connecting on, you know, passes beyond 20 yards. He's 1 for 12 right now in that category. So, you know, that obviously affects things, and teams aren't, you know, trusting that the Bengals can beat them over the top. They're really, you know, kind of disrespecting the Bengals offense and saying, okay, we don't think your receivers and your playmakers can beat us down the field. So we're going to keep everything in front of us. We're not worried about the deep ball. And they've been proven correct through two games. So you would want the Bengals to take advantage of teams trying to stack the box and trying to keep everything in front of them and call some deep plays and, you know, try to force the issue. Dial up AJ Green's number down the field. Even I know John Ross has struggled, but this is his strength, is getting down the field and being a vertical threat and being one of the fastest guys in the NFL. You know, give him a go route and, you know, throw his way. So the Bengals are going to have their hands full with another defense that is going to not respect what they can do vertically. And they're going to keep on, you know, playing close to the line of scrimmage. And it's going to be up to the Bengals to combat that by trying to force the issue with plays downfield.
I couldn't agree with Tyler more strongly about the importance of establishing the run. For the piece that I mentioned about the Bengals offensive line, I spoke with one of the assistant coaches on the only team that has done a good job over the past 22 years protecting its rookie quarterback. That was the Colts and Peyton Manning. One of their assistant coaches said the only reason that that worked out so well was because the Colts handed the ball to Marshall Faulk 20 times a game. They gave the Hall of Famer more carries that season, Peyton's rookie year, than Marshall Faulk had the rest of his career. Burrow has been really good, especially week two, when you know that the Bengals, when you don't know that the Bengals are going to pass the ball. I tweeted this out earlier this week, but Burrow threw 61 passes on Thursday. 38 of those passes came in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter when they were down 2 scores. In the remaining 23 passes, Burrow only had 9 incompletions. All of those incompletions were because of either contested catches that the Bengals didn't pull down or missed blocks by offensive linemen. Those are the two issues that I think really need to be focused on. Receivers not coming up with clutch contested catches and all offensive linemen staying true to their assignments. I think it becomes a lot easier for Joe Burrow to have fewer of those opportunities when the Bengals are running the ball well.
And looking ahead to Philly, Tyler's going to have the three keys up on Cincinnati.com. But when you guys look at that matchup right now, I know Carson Wentz has been struggling recently. He's actually the national story right now. Fletcher Cox has actually been out 2 days in practice. They're kind of weak in the wide receiver room right now when you look at their injury report. What is the biggest key for you guys with this Eagles team for the Bengals to get their first win of the season?
Well, it has to start with the team stopping the run. The Eagles, they don't present a high-powered rushing offense, but still, they are going to try to game plan, and their offensive philosophy is going to be run the ball because this Bengals team has shown an inability to stop the run. So, first and foremost, you can't give up 200-plus yards on the ground. Secondly, you have to take advantage of the Eagles' banged up offensive line. Their O-line has been decimated by injuries. So this is a game, even though the Bengals are thin in the defensive interior, you still have Carlos Dunlap. You have Sam Hubbard. You know, you have Carl Lawson. They should be able to get after Carson Wentz and be able to rush the passer on passing downs and situations. So stop the run first and foremost. And then once you establish that and do that, get after the quarterback. The offense has played well enough to win games for the most part. Last week, they played well enough. You know, the red zone was an issue and, you know, not converting on explosive plays has been an issue. But if the offense performs similar to how they did in Cleveland, yes, you want them to establish a run more and have a more balanced attack. But if you get, you know, a 300-yard passing game from Joe Burrow and get, you know, you would love to see a 100-yard rushing game from Joe Mixon, then that's a recipe to win a game on the road in Philadelphia. It's a tall order, but that's the recipe for success and for the Bengals to get their first win.
I don't think there's any on paper reason that the Eagles should have more rushing yards on Sunday than the Bengals. I completely agree with Tyler. I'm going to steal that point and say that this is time for the Bengals defensive line to be the unit that we said before the season would be the strongest on the entire team. Even if it's missing its star defensive tackle, as Tyler said, the pieces they have, Hubbard, Lawson, Reader, and the amount of capital that they've invested, especially on edge rushers and on DJ Reader, it's a unit that has to produce and is playing an offensive line where the two starting guards for the Eagles have a combined 3 games of starting experience in the NFL. Their right tackle, Lane Johnson, who's a stud, has been on the injury report the entire season with an ankle injury and has been questionable every week. Their left tackle, Marcus Peters, was retired. Then they brought him out of retirement to play guard. And then at the end of the regular season, they had to move him back to tackle. The only constant in there is Jason Kelsey. The Bengals have constants at 3 of their 4 spots on the defensive line, plus Hubbard backing Lawson up. I think there's no reason that the Bengals shouldn't be making plays in the backfield in the rush game, in the run game, and then in the pass game, really getting to Carson Wentz and sacking him a ton like Wentz was sacked in Week 1.
We talk a lot this year just about development. Prior to the season, a lot of us picked 5 or 6 wins at best. They're 0-2 on the season right now, a winnable game in front of them against the Eagles, and then they'll see the Jags at home the following week. When you look at the Cincinnati Bengals team, I mean, you can look at the score lines and say they've lost 2 games by combined 8 points, but really the Browns game was a disaster defensively and offensively. Everybody knows what happened on the offensive line. Yeah, they'd like to take a couple passes back from Week 1, but Week 3 is a chance for a new start. They had a few extra days off. They are going with their same offensive line. If this team drops to 0-3, even though this season wasn't about wins, it was more about development in the rookie quarterback and other positions, what does that mean for this team and what's it going to do to a locker room?
When the season first started, I did pick the Bengals to start the season 0-3. I have them winning next week when they play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's not going to be a huge surprise to me. What's a bigger surprise is the Eagles being winless. And, you know, I had them in the NFC East hunt. So, you know, this season does feel a little bit different in the locker room. Their players aren't as frustrated as being 0-2 as they were last year, because they feel closer to winning these games. And, you know, there's a better attitude. You know, you have a rookie quarterback, a lot of new pieces, and also missing some key pieces as well. If they drop to 0-3, obviously no team wants to be winless to start the year, especially the first 3 games. But overall, it would not surprise me, because the Eagles, I mean, to put it frank, they're a more talented team than the Bengals, and they're a team that has playoff aspirations. To start the season, I don't think anybody in the country whose objective would have thought that the Bengals are going to be in the playoffs this year. This is a season about rebuilding and a season to develop your young talent and Joe Burrow and T. Higgins, and to, you know, get better on the defensive side of the football. And we've seen Joe Burrow continue to develop through 2 games, but that defense is still lagging behind a little bit. And the biggest reason is they cannot stop the run.
I like to remember how the Bengals are better at every single position group than they were this time last year. You know, you got Burrow quarterback, Mixon's way better than he was after his really disappointing start to last season. The Bengals started Stanley Morgan at wide receiver last year on the defensive line. They didn't have a run stopper like Reader. They didn't have as experienced linebackers as Josh Bynes or Jermaine Pratt, who emerged down the stretch. They added pieces in the secondary. If despite all of that, the Bengals still start this season 0-4, I think that is a significant cause for concern, especially because you will have lost to Jacksonville and Philadelphia back-to-back weeks, teams that both clearly don't look like, you know, top AFC teams right now. We're not there yet. There's still two more games before that, but I think it's important to circle that week four date and say that, you know, you kind of have to win by then, considering how much the Bengals have invested in being better, and considering how the Bengals are a much better team than they were a year ago. If the wins and losses don't show that, then I think that's cause for concern, because something's not adding up.
We'll look ahead to predictions because everybody loves them. We have a preview video and prediction up on Cincinnati.com, but I'm going to go first. I actually do think the Bengals are going to drop to 0-3 on the season. I think the Eagles will win 27-14. And the reason I feel this is because it has a Carson Wentz return game written all over it. I do feel like they'll bounce back next week when they open up against the Jags at home, but I'm going to go with the L this coming Sunday. What about you, Charlie?
I'm really concerned with how the Bengals guard Zach Ertz. They've historically struggled with tight ends. Even Hunter Henry week one, I think, led the Chargers in receiving yards. I'm going to pick the Eagles as well. I think that it's going to be another similar story with Joe Burrow, how he had very impressive moments. But if the offensive line could have held up a couple more times, or the receivers could have made a couple more catches, or if he connected on one more deep ball, the Bengals would have won the game. But I don't see that happening this week. And I see the Bengals really struggling to stop Wentz and Ertz. So Eagles 30-24.
You guys are both on the same page, you know, and I kind of gave them my answer earlier. It's funny because, as you know, I used to cover the Cowboys in the NFC East division. And if the Eagles start off 0-3 with all the expectations they had coming into this year, it's going to be panic in Philadelphia. If the Bengals start off 0-3, it won't be panic. It'll be like, okay, well, you know, that's kind of expected. We didn't expect this team to be above 500. And, you know, that's kind of the way that I am feeling in this as well, because Bengals, if we're going to be objective, they're not supposed to be a playoff caliber team yet. And going and thinking about this game, they have a tough time stopping the run, but the Eagles cannot run the ball. So that's an advantage for the Bengals. But also, the Eagles' defense is pretty good, even without Fletcher Cox, if he's not going to be able to play because he has an abdominal injury. But that defense is still one of the best in the NFL. And I just think that for a week three game, this is as close to a must win for the Eagles to begin the season as it gets when you're in a division with the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, the other teams in that division. And so I have to pick the Eagles to win. They're at home, and I believe that they're going to squeak out a victory 24-21.
Make sure you're staying with us on Cincinnati.com. We have plenty up there. A look, a preview, predictions, a look with PFF, what to look for in the week three versus the Eagles. Charlie, Tyler, I know you guys have plenty online. What is up there?
So I have my three keys that's going to be published later today. AJ Green admitted that he was a little rusty. I have a story on that as well. And also Joe Burrow made some interesting comments about the lack of explosive plays that the team has been absent of for the last two games. So I have a story on that as well.
I have a story up on the Battle of the Trenches and why the Bengals are in position to win it on Sunday. Also look out soon for the story I've mentioned, the pressure facing the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, protecting the future of the franchise.
Make sure you're following along over on Twitter, ENQ Sports, over on Instagram, ENQ Bengals. And thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.